Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. It's been a while. We've had a little bit of a disruption during all the election season, in no small part due to the fact that I myself was a candidate in that very election. So I'm going to do the shows entirely by myself tonight, I think largely because it's a little bit more of a personal thing tonight. I'd like to actually start just by mentioning the passing of a few significant people, certainly significant to me in some cases here. First one is Teresa Neighbor, who was I knew her as the executive director of the Cambridge Election Commission, which she served on from 1984 until 2006. And I hadn't seen her too much after her retirement. But she passed away in September, and there was a very, very nice memorial service for her, remembrance thing at the Bigelow Chapel at Mount Auburn Cemetery this past weekend, which was just great. Deaths are terrible things, but they also serve as reunions for people you haven't seen in a while. And this was definitely no exception. So anyway, fare thee well, Teresa Neighbor. We worked together pretty closely when we were doing the computerization of the Cambridge elections. And you can't think of a better person to have worked with for that. She was also one of the architects when we had our first big recount during the electronic counting era, which was a real challenge. It actually lasted 2 weeks. That was back in 2001. And more on elections, election-related things in a minute. But another person was a real sort of sad, but yet in a way ironic death. Many of us knew Greg Morey, who was, we thought of him as a perennial candidate, sort of not always the easiest person to get along with, but relatively harmless for most of us who were candidates. And many people in the city knew him as the person who would run for city council seat every 2 years for, pretty much every election for a good long while. And in the strangest of ironic twists, on election night, Greg must have had some sort of a cardiac episode or something like that, which led to the crashing of a car. But I believe he died from the cardiac episode, or at least that's been my understanding. So that was on November 7th, election night, of all nights, for a person who is known primarily as a candidate every 2 years, that she should die right on the night of election, of a municipal election. Really a sad story. And another one is a person many of you won't know, but I have to say it because it was one of my really closest friends, Kevin Glynn, who I've known for over 30 years, lived on Lee Street. He was a manager of a building, but he also was the guy I called whenever I had a problem with my building, whether it was frozen pipes or you name it. So so he passed away on Friday. So, and there'll be a memorial service for him this coming Friday. Now, back to the elections, election-related things. And I thought I would start tonight just to point out that I was a candidate this time around, and and that was part of the reason why we weren't doing any Cambridge Inside Out shows for the last couple of months as well. But before getting into all the specifics about the elections, the winners, and the process, and the Cincinnati method, and proportional representation, and vote distributions, and all of that stuff. I can't avoid at least mentioning the fact that I was a candidate, and this was a real personal experience, pretty kind of horrifying experience in some respects. Earlier this year, I had no desire to be a candidate. It didn't even enter my mind. I mean, I had been a candidate 30 years ago, but I had no intention. But the only reason why I thought, I mean, I know that there was a group of people who were trying to encourage some other people to become candidates, and, they kept dropping the line and no fish were biting. So part of the reason why I decided to be a candidate is I figured, well, if somebody's got to step forward, let it be me. I'll just do it. And then maybe that'll be an encouragement for others. And then, in fact, we ended up with a fair number of very, very good candidates emerged. There was actually a total of 24 candidates for the 9 city council seats. So I certainly don't regret that. The other reason for me wanting to be a candidate was to have a very strong interest in what's going to happen as part of this whole charter review process, and which I don't think is moving in a very good direction right now. But a primary reason why I wanted to be a candidate was to, to sort of focus on that. Unfortunately, you go to candidate events, and all they want to do is talk about bike lanes, the affordable housing overlay, or whatever other controversy that some narrow focused group cares about. And the things that may actually be most important in the long view of the city, oftentimes the organizers of these events are have just no interest in focusing on the important stuff. They're just too focused on their narrow interests. So that wasn't really good. I had actually looked forward to being, as I'm actually a lot better educated as a candidate now than I was 30 years ago. And I thought, go ahead, ask me anything. I thought it was going to be great. And I absolutely had every intention of doing, ask me anything, give you nothing but straight answers, no evasion, nothing. And I also wanted to have fun. And I said, I'm just going to enjoy this whole process. And honestly, it was like that. I mean, I was, never the most aggressive candidate, but it was actually kind of it was fun. It was fun meeting some of the other candidates and spending time with people and doing all of that sort of stuff. I was enjoying the candidate forums, but then something pretty ugly happened on September 26th. I actually went to an event that was organized by some. Supposedly by some graduate students, graduate student unions from both MIT and Harvard for a combined event. It was took place up on the Harvard campus. And I figured, well, this is good. I teach up at Harvard. I used to work at MIT. I was a graduate student at MIT. This ought to be great, And then I got ambushed. I got ambushed, a nice organized ambush from some of the people who were, I mean, more or less associated with what we think of as the Democratic Socialists of Boston, Cambridge, Somerville, whatever, pretty much a coordinated attack where they basically grabbed very deliberately, grabbed anything, like jokes I had made or things that I had liked on social media, whatever, and just must have worked real hard to dig up all of this stuff. And honestly, there was nothing there which was offensive to any reasonable person. But depending on how you spin things, you can make anything out as controversial as long as you just keep pouring it on. And that's what they did. And the principal person behind a lot of this attack was one of the candidates, a fellow named Mr. Dan Totten. And it was hurtful. It was really hurtful. And I had an option: should I just fight back, or should I just let it blow over? So I let. Kind of let things pass for a while, and then I just basically made a few public statements, tried to put everything into perspective. Honestly, amongst some of the really diehards, there was no explanation. There was nothing they wanted to hear because they'd already decided I was the evil one. And they, by the way, they didn't always just go after me. They went off after another one of the candidates named Carrie Pascarella, who was honestly one of the nicest people I've met in decades. A kind-hearted person, really, really not a very wonderful, nice person, and they made her out as though she was some sort of a neo-Nazi. And I thought, what city am I living in? Anyway, my quest to enjoy the political campaign turned on a dime after that, and it was nothing but torture. It didn't help that some of the so-called journalistic outlets, whether it be the Harvard Crimson. Or the Cambridge Day, for that matter, and the anonymous commenters that pollute that vehicle, just made it such a hostile environment that I couldn't enjoy being a candidate at all anymore. It was terrible, So I continued through the process, remained on the ballot, but honestly, not to by early October, I'd already pretty much decided I was just going to do that. Some of the most harmful aspects about this, honestly, for me, was that since I had been declared radioactive by this rather difficult other candidate, other candidates were worried that somehow they were going to get have it all rub off on them, and that they were going to get maligned and being they were going to be called racists and transphobes and homophobes and MAGA Republicans and anti-vaxxers. Believe me, the stuff they poured on me, it was insane, and it was 100% false. But you know, how do you respond to a mob? Well, that's the problem. Anyway, you know, we even had a candidate event not too many days after this first initial incident, where we actually had to have police protection. It was terrible. I mean, really terrible. So, and I had friends I've known for years, saying, "Well, I know we were going to schedule a campaign event, you know, but would it be okay, Robert, if you didn't show, because some of my friends might get the wrong idea?" I don't know if people understand just how hurtful that is, but it really is hurtful. And I said, okay, fine. But I was running with a group of other candidates, and you know, and they were asking me, can you know, take one for the team, which I did. You know, I said, all right, I'll just sort of play in the background from now on. But I didn't enjoy it. In fact, there were some of the remaining candidate events that might have been really good for me to go to. I just didn't even go to some of them anymore. I actually found myself becoming more interested in the school committee race at that point. And this actually went right up to election day, when I spent a total of $0 on the campaign, and which really at that point was the only wise thing to do. And I will say that probably just to cap it all off, you know, I thought, well, okay, so I'm essentially not really running anymore. Yet I'm walking down the street next to City Hall and on election night, just going for a walk, because honestly, I didn't care about the election outcome at that point. And I'm just walking down there, and I pass somebody holding a Dan Totten sign. I'm getting maybe 20, 30 feet past him. What do I hear him say? He says, "I think I just saw the devil." So just so everybody understands what Cambridge politics had really become, this was it. So anyway, I don't want to dwell on it too much more, other than to say that by the time the election results did happen, you know, in early November, I think Mr. Totten kind of exposed himself for the mean-spirited, hostile, bigoted, difficult person that he is. And I think a lot of voters actually came to see that. And this little mini slate that he was a part of, he ended up being the feeder to help elect the other candidates. But most of the voters had abandoned him at that point. So, I mean, some of the people I know had sort of been joking about it a little bit and say, "Well, Robert, if that's the one accomplishment you did was to expose Mr. Totten for what he is, then that's actually pretty good." So anyway, so let's not go on too much more about all of that, but let's talk a little bit about what actually happened. I should sort of say, let me not avoid the obvious, which is that, you know, after all of these attacks were being levied against me, then, you know, the people, some of the Hamas people from Gaza invaded Israel, committed absolute horrible atrocities. And at that point, some of the, even our local Democratic Socialists of America somehow didn't care so much about evil Robert Winters. They were much more interested in going after Israel at that point. And even, I think, was it October, that atrocity occurred on October 7th. And by 2 days later, they were already organizing a rally on the front of Cambridge City Hall, you know, with all of the usual, you know, from the river to the sea nonsense. And I went there just to witness it, but I ended up taking the other side, because honestly, I was so offended by what I saw. You know, and some of the candidates during the campaign, even though this was national and international in scope, were actually asked to, you know, opine on the matter. And some did, some didn't. Several candidates really engaged in both sidesism, just wanted to be very mealy-mouthed and not say anything at all. And others just evaded the question entirely. So, I mean, it was, again, not that international matters should in any way really speak too much about a local election, but you know, it did provide, at least for some of us who are paying attention, to some real insight into basically into who the good guys and the bad guys were. So, but it was kind of an interesting thing, is that events internationally somehow took the heat off on me, which was kind of weird. Anyway, let's get back to what actually in the election. Okay, so we did have our biennial municipal election. You know, 24 candidates running for Cambridge City Council and to elect nine at large, and 11 candidates running for school committee to elect six. And I'm sure anybody who's watching this program has probably heard the lowdown on what happened there, but I'm gonna just do a little bit. By the way, I have a little photo here, just so, because I got a kick out of it. It was me and Carrie Pasquarello just happened to be down at Toscanini's. We being the candidates who were targeted by the crazies, and we just happened to notice that we were standing in front of a poster at Toscanini's for a fallout shelter. So here we have the two radioactive candidates posed in front of a fallout shelter sign. Kind of getting a kick out of the moment in spite of it all. Anyway, onto the election a bit here. So first off, let's just, and I'm sure everybody kind of knows the results here, but the city councilors elected in order of election were Sumbul Siddiqui, Burhan Azim, Mark McGovern, Patty Nolan, Paul Toner, Jeevan, Sabrina Wheeler, re-elected from the, to the seat that he lost 2 years before. Denise Simmons, Aisha Wilson, and Joan Pickett. And you know, I'll give you some evidence as to why there was a lot of slate candidate slate dynamics were a part of this. You know, and I'll again give you some hard data to explain that shortly. For the school committee, it was Rachel Weinstein, Elizabeth Hudson, who was a candidate I came to know reasonably well during the campaign, really, really liked her. David Weinstein, Carolyn Hunter, Jose Luis Rojas Villarreal, and Richard Harding. The Richard Harding election is an interesting one in that in the preliminary election results, which happened on election night, Richard was up by, I think, 50 some odd votes. And then when they did the unofficial results, including all the auxiliary ballots the following 2 days later on November 9th, it was actually Andrew King was ahead by three votes. And of course, it ain't over till it's over. But on November 17th, when they included 31 additional ballots, you know, a mix of provisional ballots, overseas absentee ballots, and then I think it was about 18 ballots that were, had been misplaced into the wrong category from one particular precinct, Ward 8 Precinct 1, they were then included. And even though there were a fair number of blank ballots for the school committee, there were definitely more ballots. As a result of that, Richard Harding was then back on top by eight votes. Now, I don't know whether there's going to be a call for a recount. The deadline for asking for a recount, should that be desired by Andrew King, would be Wednesday at 5 p.m. Again, many people with the election staff would prefer not to have to go through that process, but it is a certainly a legal option should Mr. King choose to do that. I will say, though, having watched elections for many, many years, if he were to not choose to file a recount, he'll probably be viewed very, very highly by many, many people, and it may actually benefit him in a very significant way 2 years from now should he choose to run again. So it's worth mentioning. Now, there's a various ways to sort of look at the elections. I thought maybe what I would do is look at the official way the count works. So voter turnout wasn't bad for a municipal election. There were about 23,500 people voted, and with about 23,000, there's always some invalid ballots, usually people who give number one votes to too many candidates and whatever, and they can't. There's just no valid choices on the ballot as a result of the overvotes. That's what typically happens. For the school committee race, there's often a lot of blank ballots, which is really where most of the invalid ballots are ballots that, where there were no choices expressed at all. So, as expected, Sumbul Siddiqui topped the ticket, was elected on the first count with 3,353 ballots, and you know, I think some of the results were predictable. Some maybe were surprising, but I would say more or less in sync with what I was expecting. Maybe not so easy to predict on the last few people to be elected. and I won't dwell on this too much here, but the way we would do it in Cambridge, the first order of business is if anybody was over quota, and the quota this year was 2,334, what we do is we take their surplus ballots, chosen, in this case, it would be like something like every third ballot is chosen for transfer to continuing candidates. That's this so-called Cincinnati method of choosing which ballots are to be transferred. We do have this bit of a problem in Cambridge, though, which is that if you were to reorder the ballots in any way, you might actually be choosing a different collection of ballots for transfer. So we have this somewhat mild, but unfortunately embarrassing dependence on ballot order, which is something that's quite fixable. And I've certainly proposed doing that as part of the charter review process. Very simple fix. In fact, I'll even show you how it's done shortly. Anyway, the process continued round after round after round. You know, after the surplus distributions, it's just a series of runoffs, slowly but surely winnowing down the field, defeating Adrian Klein, John Hanratty, Joe McGurk, and thankfully Dan Totten. And Eyal Zuby was the last person. Well, Kathy Zusi was defeated. Then it was Eyal Zuby, rather surprisingly, was the last person counted out. And then we were down to just basically finishing off the transfers in order to come down to the final nine. You don't have to reach quota to be elected. You just have to be one of the last people standing at the end of the series of runoffs. So anyway, so that's how all of that worked. I'll go over here to the school committee momentarily, address that here. Pardon me as I sort of tinker around here a little bit here. All right, so I'm going to go over to the school committee here right now. So once again, let me share the screen and see if we can make that fly. So again, this was the count after all of those additional ballots were included. And again, there were 23,092 ballots actually processed, almost 2,000 invalid ballots, mainly blanks. People who only cared about the city council race didn't even have a clue about anything having to do with the school committee race, which is in itself a real shame that's the way things are. So again, Rachel Weinstein topped the ticket. And Elizabeth Hudson, the name here is a little truncated, unfortunately. They were both elected on the first count. They both had surplus ballots to share. First, you take off the ones off of Rachel Weinstein, then Elizabeth's, and then we go into the series of runoffs. So we do that, we do that, we do that. And what you'll see here is after Eugenia Schreier, who is defeated, you end up with seven candidates remaining, and Richard Harding is just those eight ballots ahead of Andrew King, but that is the last and deciding round, or the penultimate round, and that's the margin that elects Richard Harding, and then the rest are just sort of formally transferred in the final round. So anyway, that's how the process goes. One of the things that I wanted to show you, though, is just because, you know, we talk about this is how the election ran. But what I'm going to show is something I don't think I've ever actually shown people here, which is some of the sort of internal stuff that actually happens when they do the computer count. So, for example, what we have here I'm showing you now is the configuration file that's actually used in order to use the Choice Plus Pro software to do that. It actually gives some of the rules for how the ballot count is to take place. It has the secret line that says comply with Cambridge. By the way, if you want to make ballot order independent, all you have to do is put a hashtag in front of that, and then you have fractional transfer, which in my opinion would be the most simple fix of a broken system. So there's your 24 candidates. There were actually the 33 different precinct files are racked up to be counted, sequentially, in that particular way. And I'm wanting to actually navigate here. I'm going to actually have to stop here for a second in order to actually see it. But for those, and again, I'm just about done, but for this half hour, but let me do one quick one here, and then we'll run away and come back, just so you know what the actual ballot data looks like. It actually gives, it's just some identifying characters, and then it's just the sequence of rankings. So anyway, I'm just only because I'm being mindful of the time here, so I'm going to actually take a break now in a few seconds here, and then I'll come back. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the mechanics and say a little bit more about proportional representation elections and a few more particulars. All right. So anyway, so I'll be back shortly on Cambridge Inside Up.